Welcome to the International Franchise Association's Women's Franchise Committee podcast, Her Success, the Stories of Female Franchise Leaders. I'm Catherine LeBlanc with Twist Brands, and today I'm talking with Connie Hill Johnson, owner of the Visiting Angels franchise in Cleveland, philanthropist, speaker, and CEO of Pivot to Win. Connie has spent the last decade helping seniors remain independent and safe in their own home environment. She has shared with many the challenges and rewards of being a female business owner and managing a staff of over 70 employees. And today I'm excited to talk to her about her journey and what the future holds for her. So Connie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Catherine, thank you for having me as we wind down what has been an unbelievable year, I'm sure, for both of us and all of the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm excited to talk to you because I feel like some of what you're going to share today is very appropriate for this year and a bit of a journey that you had in facing some pitfalls in your own career and your own personal life and really changing your kind of course based on those pitfalls.
Yes.
We were talking in preparation for this podcast. We talked kind of started at the beginning with your career path, and I'd love to kind of briefly touch on that and really touch on, you know, the adversity that you did face. And I think even during our kind of pre-conversation, it might've been an aha moment for you to say, you know, oh yes, I did face a lot of adversity through my career. And in that adversity, I have landed in such amazing places. So I'd love to kind of talk through that a little bit to begin with.
Sure. Well, wow. You know, almost close to 20 years as an entrepreneur, at least from a franchise business side. But to keep this very brief, I was downsized right after 9/11. I think I told you the story of actually being in the air on 9/11, headed to New Jersey. And I was one of many of hundreds of thousands of individuals who had to immediately come down, land. And it wasn't until I got off the airplane and found out really what happened. But shortly after that, downsized. And I had been working in healthcare administration. I have a graduate degree in that for many, many years. And here I am finding myself, you know, working with a headhunter trying to find a job, and ran across an article in Black Enterprise Magazine. Shout out for Black Enterprise Magazine. And it talked about the number of minorities buying franchises. And so that's how I found Visiting Angels. I did not grow up in an entrepreneurial family. Just hardworking family, you know, 9-to-5 jobs, kids raised, go to college and, you know, become successful citizens. And I'm real anal. It took me about 6, 8, 10 months to pull the trigger and did a lot of due diligence and really could somewhat relate to taking care of seniors. That's what Visiting Angels is about, hiring aides to go into homes to take care of seniors. And at this time, my dad's health was ailing, so I was somewhat familiar with services coming in the home. So my hand shook the whole time when I wrote that check to purchase the franchise. I was living in St. Louis at the time, but decided to come back to Cleveland. By then, my father had passed, and I thought this is a great time to come home and be closer to my mom. And so here I am, Catherine, and not ashamed to say it. I was over 40 years old and moved in with my mom and started the business in the basement. I always say the same basement where I played with Barbie dolls and Easy Bake Ovens. And in the summer of 2002 was when I officially opened the doors for Visiting Angels in Cleveland, Ohio, serving seniors.
That's amazing. And, you know, when I did my intro, you know, I've rattled off 4 different titles that you hold. And, you know, I'm curious, you jumped into Visiting Angels, saw the opportunity, saw the need, you know, home healthcare is certainly a booming business. But you're also, you know, a speaker and a philanthropist. So your give back piece is also very much there. Was that something that attracted you when you were looking to build your kind of entrepreneurial enterprise, was layering in that give back piece?
Well, you know what? As I look back, I see that it was that in the front of my mind? I'm not certain of that. I think at the core of who I am, I'm a giver and I have a servant's heart. And so I've just always found myself giving back, doing for others. And I knew that when I was looking at franchise opportunities, I knew what I didn't know, but one thing I did know was I wanted it to be a service business. I knew that. So I knew in serving in whatever capacity, I was in turn giving back. So that was just a natural fit for me. And so when I started this business, of course, initially people thought, oh, you're a nonprofit. What's your program? And so I had to quickly now shift to my business hat now. There's nothing dysfunctional about making money and giving back and serving. Right. And I continue to tell that to people when I'm, those aren't disparate entities. You can give back and serve and still be a savvy businesswoman. Mm-hmm. So it kind of naturally occurred that my passion for giving back and serving and philanthropy, giving up your time, your talent, and your treasure, kind of all merged together with the start of my entrepreneurial journey.
Okay, that's awesome. So in that journey, you really found and discovered some different things that you didn't even know you would discover in that journey. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been, it has been a journey. And the service part has been amazing because on one hand you think, okay, I'm serving seniors, the vulnerable in our communities, the elders who have raised us, who pour wisdom into us, but also in serving, it's been a privilege to serve my employees. And I think a lot of us as managers and owners don't think of it that way, but my goal has always been, and wow, how real is this in this coronavirus environment now? My goal has always been to not only serve the seniors and make sure they're okay, but to the best of my ability, serve my employees if I can.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you mentioned that because, you know, one of the things that I so admire about you in what we discussed in the past is around the way that you view your employees and the way that you kind of set up a structure to nurture them. And in a service industry, you know, and I think you said it best where, you know, they are visiting angels, right? They are your brand. So I would love to hear a little bit on how you nurture them. And then for me as a marketer, you know, when we were talking about this, it kind of clicked for me what they are your biggest advertising investment, right? Because they are getting referrals and keeping the business. And so you really do invest in them. And I'd love to explore that a little bit more with you.
Well, and you know, Catherine, again, it's been somewhat of an evolution. The average person, and I'm going to be very deliberate in my words, the average person does not value and esteem a home health aide, a caregiver, a nursing assistant, what some people might call a paraprofessional. And there, we all have to recognize in life that there, somewhere on our life's journey, we're going to need somebody to help us, period. If we live long enough, it's going to happen. And it's not always going to be that master degree registered nurse. It's going to be an aide. Right. It's going to have to walk us to the bathroom or help us get dressed or push the grocery cart for us. So in saying that, I was very intentional and purposeful about trying to lift up that work profession. And as I began to hire and interview at the beginning and learn more about the women, and I'll say that it's primarily women, but there are some men, why they even chose to get into this profession. And again, we as a society don't even view that as a profession. Mm-hmm. You know, I will hear people still make comments 20 years later. Well, they're just babysitting old people. And so we as a society don't even value that aid role. I think, again, in the midst of this coronavirus, people are really, really starting to say, oh my God, who really is essential? Yeah. Even though we're focusing a lot on those in the facilities, we're still talking about the nursing assistant, the CNA, the dietary worker in the facility that's really the essential worker. So what I've really tried to do is, I heard someone say a long time ago, Catherine, learn to listen with a third ear. So as I'm talking to my staff or even beyond the interview process, there's a person behind that the scrubs, mm-hmm. who brings to the table a whole lot of stuff that can impact them in the workplace. And so my job is to try to really holistically kind of look beyond the skill set and do you know how to transfer a senior? Have you worked with Alzheimer's? Have you used a bedpan? I can get beyond all of that and teach that. But what I can't do is really find out why you want to be a caregiver. You could go to Amazon. You could go to Walgreens. What is it about caring and serving that sets you apart and makes you unique for this kind of business? And so that's really where I have learned to dig in. And I think it speaks to the fact that I have ladies who have been with me almost from the beginning.
Wow.
And in this field, that's unheard of. I clearly have a ton of people who've been with me over 10 years, 12 years. And I think it's because they genuinely know that I'm as interested in them as the person and what's going on in their lives. If I can help, it's equally important as taking care of the seniors who pay us to be in business.
Yep. And so, you know, the business that you've built over the last decade, you know, has been impactful in your local market, but also, you know, you've risen as a model franchisee, a model woman entrepreneur. And you balance that with the management of, like I said in my intro, over 70 employees. How do you manage your time?
I am still not good at that. I am quick to admit my strengths and my weaknesses. Time management is not one of my strengths. If I had a lesson for an up-and-coming entrepreneur, it would be perfecting the art of delegating and stepping back. Now, for my caregivers in the field, I don't bother them. For my staff in the office, that's a little bit of a different challenge. Uh-huh. So I have worked hard at that, and I'm still not there, knowing when to carve out Connie time, mm-hmm. and when to really, really say, the folks that you've hired in the office, coupled with the ladies you have in the field, they've got this.
Yeah.
And you put in the sweat equity and the long hours at the beginning to mm-hmm. be okay with stepping back. But I think when you start something, as people say, it's your baby, mm-hmm. and you still have a tendency to put your finger in and then snatch it back and then put your finger back in and snatch it back. So that time management part is still a work in process for me, but I'm a lot better than I was. And I think part of it is because I've chosen to get involved in my community. And I know we're going to talk about that a little bit, but back to the philanthropy and the giving back. Mm-hmm. I've recognized that not only is the Visiting Angels brand in the community, but the Connie Hill Johnson brand is in mm-hmm. the community. And I'm very cognizant of my own personal brand. And so I've worked hard to promote that, if you will,
yep.
which has led to some really wonderful community efforts and volunteerism that has just helped me continue to give back to the Cleveland community that I love.
Yeah. And I'll say, you know, for me, when I look at franchisees who are most successful, and really kind of are at the top of their game, they really weave community give back into their business. And it's not different. It's definitely a woven
right.
Fabric that they build. And that, you know, to your point earlier, when you said, you know, it just kind of happened this way organically, you know, you certainly have a serving aptitude. And so that, you know, I can guarantee you those opportunities found their way to you because of that aptitude. And, you know, I think it's interesting, you know, organically you were able to build this community engagement along with your business, which I see time and time again is what is key to kind of rise, being the cream that rises to the top. And so when we're talking about, you know, a little bit about your brand, and your kind of development of your brand, I'm curious to know kind of how you came about the realization that, you know, I've got to put as much time and energy into my own brand as I do into my business. And then also, you know, how do you balance that? You know, you said it earlier where it's okay to be giving and make money at the same time, right? And so how do you balance that, you know, in your own brand?
Yeah. And again, a continued work in process. One of the things that started occurring several years ago was not only individuals in the community asking me to be involved, but female entrepreneurs approaching me just individually, you know, connecting on LinkedIn, reaching out to me through a DM, having heard my story, whether it was on a panel or just in a side conversation, and asking for me to share with them my journey to, and I'm not going to use the word coach yet, but they wanted to learn more because they were kind of at those crossroads of, I think I kind of want to do what you're doing, but I don't know how, and I'm afraid. And so it somewhat evolved in me recognizing that people, Connie, are drawn to, yes, Visiting Angels, but more importantly, they're drawn to Connie Hill Johnson mm-hmm. and the woman she is and her story and her, how she's, we're going to use the word successful. So
and your expertise in that, right? You know, you are an expert in being successful. You found success through multiple career paths.
Right. And so, my husband, and I think I've shared this with you before, my husband used to poo-poo my speech communications liberal arts degree. You know, he's the engineer in the MBA, right? And he'd say, mm-hmm. oh, you have that, you know. And after a few years in this business and then seeing me speak and watching, you know, the dynamics of conversations, he would say, oh, I kind of get this now. You're pretty good. I thought, uh-huh, my little liberal arts degree is showing up here, right? So I recognize my strengths. I'm a big believer in stay in your lane. And my lane is communication. It's, again, service. It's, I'm always looking to promote someone else and lift someone else up and help tell their story and then share mine. So it's just evolved where I am now as I try to work more on my personal brand, because there will be a season post Visiting Angels. I recognize that. Mm-hmm. There will be a season post Visiting Angels. And I want to be able to successfully leverage that which I've learned and that which I've experienced to help more women, again, who come to me and just said, I want to do something, but I don't know how to pivot. I just can't seem to get off the dime. Mm-hmm. And so can you walk me through it? Can you give me some pointers? Can you share with me some steps that'll move me in that direction?
Awesome. So in that journey, I love how you call it a new season. When you're looking at what that next season is for you, what does that look like?
Wow, do you want me to paint you this perfect picture, Catherine?
No, you can't. It can't be perfect. You can't.
No, it won't be perfect. Trust me. Number one, I'm not perfect. But you know, really, really, if I did paint a picture, and I have in my mind, because you have to set a goal to move towards it. You have to. So, doing one-on-one coaching with women. And I already know that my audience or my avatar, as I've heard someone say, know mm-hmm. who your avatar is, my avatar, is probably going to be women over 40.
Okay.
Those are the ones who are typically drawn to me and that I find myself drawn to, because that's when I figured it all out after 40, after being downsized. So I do know that it's not the 25-year-old, it's somebody over 40. So I see myself doing that kind of one-on-one coaching, and more for startups, not necessarily for seasoned business owners who've been doing this 15 or 20 years. I'm talking about those who are really, really trying to figure it out. There will hopefully be a niche for new franchisees, and whether it's home care or not, I'm not saying it has to be home care, but the franchise business model is different from someone who's starting from scratch.
Yeah.
So I do see that being a niche. And then the other one just being some public speaking. I've done that some, not a lot, but when I've done it, it's been so enjoyable. Speaking to a group of women, again, who are going into a new season of their lives, whether it's entrepreneurism or just pivoting, period, in a new direction and not knowing how to get their footing and their grounding to go after their dreams. So a nice balance of some one-on-one coaching and some speaking opportunities, and then I can maybe kick back and enjoy some of the fruits of the labor. I don't know.
Enjoy that success. Yeah. And I think, you know, you are an expert in success, and then and kind of pivoting into that next season around sharing the secrets of your success sounds like the perfect next step. So as we were thinking about seasons, I just love this word. So glomming onto it. I'm curious to hear from you around, what do you think you have learned in this last season? So this last season being 2020 and the challenges that came with it. And then what do you think, you know, as a business community, we've learned from this last season?
Wow, what a great question. You know, if I really look at 2020, and I just shared this with someone the other day, this has been the hardest year of my life as a business owner. From a numbers standpoint, we didn't suffer a lot. And I will be honest about that. Number one, it's the grace of God. Number two, so much has to do with client relationships. And again, the employee, the level of commitment from my employees has been amazing to me, particularly as I've talked to colleagues around the country, and not just within the Visiting Angels family, just in the home care family. Mm-hmm. And businesses have struggled, and families have been a little bit afraid of having aides in. And aides have said, I'm afraid, and I don't know if I can keep doing this. And when I look at my team and this year, we had very little fall off of staff.
Wow.
We had very few clients who said, we're going to put this on pause for a moment and we'll come back on the other side of COVID. And I can't put my finger on all of why that has happened. It's been a lot of reasons why, but I think one of the things that I've always stressed to any entrepreneur is business is about relationships. It's not about, you know, plopping a body into somebody's home. And so even with some of the staff who got the virus, or some of my staff who were exposed but had to be quarantined, they didn't get it, but they were exposed. The trepidation that I had in calling a daughter to tell her that one of my aides was around her 85-year-old mother was the most frightening feeling. I'll be honest with you.
I can't imagine.
But the response from the families almost brought me to tears, because here I am fearful of, oh my gosh, I've got to call this daughter or the son to tell them they are going to have to quarantine their mom. And I didn't have that in abundance, but we weren't exempt from what the whole country is facing.
Right.
But because the relationships that I've had and my office has had with clients covers a multitude of things that could happen. Every single family said, it's okay, Connie. We're going to be okay. This is what we're going to do. Please keep us posted on how the aid is. We want her to come back. So just this, the emotional journey of coronavirus has been the hardest thing that I've ever had to manage, because I'm worried about my staff and I'm worried about the seniors. Right. And so it's always back here since February. At night, in the morning, when I'm giving out masks, when I'm passing out thermometers, it's just, so in my 19 years, this has been the hardest year of my life.
Yeah. And that sentiment is probably shared across the whole world.
We are
sustaining it, and we are coming out of it, and we're learning and growing from it. Like you do with every challenge that you get to. And so, you know, thinking about your personal journey, how would you apply that to the overall business community of kind of coming out of it, maybe better for it?
Well, you know, I've come out with a few little mantras, words, favorite sayings, and one of them is I'm learning to respond and not react.
Okay.
Respond and not react. And we all have a tendency to, you know, something happens, you just react. You react in the moment, you just move into action. And I'm learning to be more, to be still for a moment before I respond. And so even in my personal life, which has been, you know, pretty good and pretty stable, but as most entrepreneurs would tell you, particularly in a business like this, you almost live and breathe this. Mm-hmm. And I've had to be very intentional. My husband and I have been very intentional about saying home is home. Mm-hmm. And we've got to learn how to disconnect and separate so that we can, number one, be sane and you know, and continue to grow our relationship and have a place of solace and peace away from the business. But I also know that I can't always separate Connie, the woman, from Connie, the business owner. The two mm-hmm. kind of bleed together. So I have learned about me time. You know, that other buzzword is self-care.
Right.
We've all heard it, particularly as women. We hear it right. all the time, self-care, yep. self-care. But I've learned the importance of that, whether it's just laying on the couch with a blanket, watching a Netflix movie.
Yep.
And turning my phone off. to just sleeping in on a Saturday morning. You know, for me to sleep in at 8:30 is huge because I'm usually up at 5 or 5:30. Mm-hmm. So I've had to be very intentional about what might sound minor to some people, but what's huge for me.
Yeah. For me. Yep. And so do you intend to carry that through into this post-COVID environment?
I do. And thank you for asking that, because it would be really easy, even in the post-COVID, to kind of fall back into the...
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. No. I'm hoping that some of these new patterns and habits that I will be very purposeful about saying, okay, if it was working like that in the COVID environment, it can continue to work.
Right.
And business was sustained.
Right.
You can continue to do that. You can continue to do that. So right. that's what I'm, and my office staff are really good. They're learning to tell me, you can go home now. Why are you here? Why did you come this afternoon? We got this. So awesome. They're good on pushing me out the door.
Well, good. That goes back to that, you know, empire building that you've done, you know, yeah. which is, again, so admirable to have employees that have worked with you from the very beginning and, you know, can recognize that, okay, it's time for you to move.
Delegate. Get up, Connie. You can leave.
You
can lock up the office.
That's awesome. And it speaks to the leadership that you've been able to build. And, you know, I think that anyone who's has the opportunity to work with you, you know, you're going to help them build that same culture in their own workplace, which is so invaluable, especially for people starting out, you know, and building their own businesses.
Yeah. And it's a hit and miss. You know, if I were going to write a book about the many mistakes I made, oh my gosh, because it was at the beginning, it was literally just me, you know, doing it all. I started, I didn't even have a part-time office assistant. So, and I try to say that to new entrepreneurs too. If you think this is going to be easy, stay with your 9-to-5. Because sometimes people see the end or see where I am now. Mm-hmm. But you weren't around when I was in the basement, you know, right. with the space heater. You weren't around when I had to get up in the middle of the night to go pick up a caregiver whose car broke down. Mm-hmm. And we had 5 feet of snow, but I couldn't leave that little old lady by herself. And so right. a lot of times people see the end, but they weren't around. And they're like, you don't know right. what happened at the very beginning.
Hard work. So, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. That makes sense. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Connie. It's been amazing getting to know you, getting to know your story. But more importantly, I think that for me, what I take away from talking to you is that importance of nurture and nurturing the people around you in order to be able to get to the self-nurture that you need to get to. And I think that, you know, the lessons you shared through your experiences this year are really helpful to hear and remind us that, you know, we've all been through a journey and we all do need to take a beat and then ask for help when we need it. You know, I think I'm so excited to watch your business coaching endeavor and season kick off. I think that it's just going to be continue. You know, you're such an impactful person. Your impact is really going to continue in the next journey that you have for you. So I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about it and share it with me.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the time, for the opportunity. What a wonderful way to end this year. Mm-hmm. It's been such a pleasure talking to you. So I wish you only the best, and hopefully our paths will cross again, Catherine.
I do hope so.